baptisms would you guess we have at University City per year? I looked at our church records for the last 20 years, and I know exactly how many we have on average per year. How many, one or two of you would like to take a guess, how many do you think we have per year come to know Christ through a friend at University City, through a co-worker, through one of the ministers, through one of the elders? How many come to know Christ in baptism every year here, on average? No, that's a little high. I would love for that to be. No, that's a little low. Okay, 10 to 12. It's right in there. The lowest year we had was 3. The highest year we had was 17. And so right in there. But on average year, it's 10 to 12 that come to know Christ at University City through the waters of baptism, through repentance, through faithfully growing in Him, through becoming a disciple of Him. So I would like 10 people to stand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, right here. You, this little section, all you guys stand up. Here's your average number. Actually, that's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Close enough. There's Todd right behind you. There's 10. Okay, boom. So 10 people coming to know Christ per year in our church family. I know we've been a little low on Sunday mornings because of COVID, but we average right now, I think we started with like 90 when we reopened. Now we're at 170, 180 on average, and it's growing back. You guys can sit down. Thank you. Is that a good number? I mean, no? When you look at the New Testament, when you look at New Testament church growth, when you look at how many people were coming to know Christ as their Lord and Savior in the book of Acts, it wasn't just 10. It wasn't just hundreds. Granted, we are just one church in the body of Christ. But it was thousands. They were coming to know Christ by the thousands, we read in Acts chapter 2 and following. And they weren't just vaguely hearing about Christ and going, oh yeah, I think I'll give my life to Him. People were telling them. Disciples were telling them. That's how people were coming to know Christ and getting baptized by so many. And it happens like this. Todd, stand up. Now. All right. Todd, stand up. All right. Let's say Todd brings a friend to know Christ. Let's say Todd brings Kayla. Let's say Kayla works with Todd in our example. And she doesn't know anybody here at University City. And so Kayla comes with Todd a few times. They study together. Todd and his wife study with Kayla. And she decides to give her life to Christ. Now, Kayla, stand up. Okay? And we're not going to put any kind of timeline on this, but now, Todd didn't just help baptize Kayla. Todd helped teach her to be a disciple. So now Todd and Kayla are both going out teaching others about Christ. Because they can't help but tell others the good news of what's happened in their life and how Christ has completely changed their life. Not only saved them, but also have given them new life now and in the future, forever in heaven. So they can't help but tell others. So they tell two more. Let's say they tell Gina and Virginia. And so you two stand up. And they give their lives to Christ. And now the four of them, they go out and tell four more about Christ. So let's have two here. If you all stand up, please. And two more next to them, if you all stand. And now we have eight. And then those eight, because they studied the Word, they were diligent in their studies, they realized it wasn't just coming to church that Christianity was all about, but that it was really about following Christ and making more Christ followers, because that was His great commission. And so they go out, and they each tell somebody the next year. And now, eight people, because eight each study with one, so eight people stand up. We'll have Barrows and this whole row stand up, and then Bill and Terry Braun stand up, and Michaela and Kennedy, if you'll stand. And I could keep going on with this example, But it's not too far-fetched that one person that takes the time to tell others about Jesus, and those two people tell somebody else, and before you know it, this whole room has given their life to Christ, if they hadn't already. You guys can all sit down. That's the example. So, my mom wanted me to tell you guys this. You guys have been praying for my mom. You've got a crazy report. This is special. My mom's CA-125 count, normal CA-125 for an individual is like teens to 30, like right in there, like 15 to 30. Average person is about 20. Her CA-125 is at 400. The doctors that give it are just a few more months, and that's why I've been going home every other week, because I can't get enough of spending time with my mom while I still have her on this earth. And the good news is it was last reported after this new chemo clinical that you started 3 weeks ago. It's now at 200, so it's cut in half. We're far from out of the woods, but the praise report is it's trending now in the right direction. She still has 11 tumors and that she's battling that are active. And so continue to pray for our family, for my mom. But my mom, she really feels like, especially a couple of weeks ago, I didn't know Ron was going to also speak about my mom. My mom feels very special because some of you guys are like, wow, she's so special. And she tells others, she tells the doctors and nurses about Jesus. She's a special woman. Somebody actually sent her a card, and it wasn't meaning to offend her in any way, but she's like, you're one of a kind. And she goes, no. You tell your brothers and sisters at University City I'm not one of a kind. I'm not special. I'm just motivated to tell others about Jesus. And it all starts for her. And if anybody just came in just now, please make sure you get notes in the back because we're going to go work off these notes. She said, for her, it all starts with prayer. Because you guys are well aware of, because I've said it several times from the pulpit, that for my mom, she tells others about Jesus. I haven't told you how she tells others about Jesus. She always starts that conversation with them going, Mrs. Dillon, you are such an amazing woman. You've made it this far, 5 years. The doctors originally said maybe 2 or 3 years, 5 years. We're hoping for another 5. We're hoping for 15. We're really trying to cheat death here. We know we're not here forever, but we really want God to pull a miracle for my mom because she's such an amazing lady, and we want to keep her here. But the doctors and nurses are always like, hey, you know, we're thinking about you. And they may not even be Christians, but they're like, we're praying for you. And my mom's like, you know what? I'm praying for you. What's going on in your life while she's getting chemo for 2 hours and she's got that captive audience? She says, what's going on in your life that I can pray for? And a nurse, there's a nurse that tends to her every time she gets chemo, Nurse Marilyn. And she's not a Christian yet, but Nurse Marilyn's working towards it. And I used her as an example in last week's lesson that I preached, or a week and a half ago. And my mom said, you know, what's going on? She said a few things, and my mom's like, I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to pray together right now. And I'm praying for those things in your life right now. And that's what starts the conversation about Jesus. She goes, you know, I go to church. I've gone to church a few times per year growing up, Easter and Christmas, as is tradition for many. And she said, you know, nobody's ever prayed for me that I'm aware of. Maybe they have, but I just wasn't aware of it. And certainly nobody's ever prayed with me. And then the conversation starts about Jesus. Because I have no doubt in my mind, looking around this room, I know several of you have invited people to church. And that's fantastic. But what are we really inviting people to? They may get the conversation here about Jesus. They probably will eventually. And that's wonderful. But it might take a long time before they decide to make that happen. We need to tell people about, now still go ahead and invite people, certainly, to church. But invite people to Jesus. Invite people to know the Lord Savior that you know. And start with prayer. I'm going to hit this point real quick, and then I'm going to flip it over to Darren. I promise I won't make every point as long as this one. Cato, I need you to read John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26 for us. And we need a mic. Is Darren, so, all right, he's already got it. And I want you guys to follow along. We're going to look at all the scripture together. John 17, verses 20 through 26. And what's really cool in John's chapter, especially, I think 14 through 17, but especially chapter 17, is that he, Jesus, God's Son, specifically prays for his disciples. And he specifically prays for you in that prayer. Go ahead. John 17, 20 through 26.
I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these things know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Taking what Jesus is really praying for all of us to actually do here. Look at that passage and think about what Jesus is praying for his disciples to do. A prayer from Jesus for all those who would believe in me through Jesus' disciples' message. In order for people to believe in Jesus, there has to be a message told by who? His disciples. It has to be a message told by Dr. Beryl. It has to be a message told by Virginia Boone. It has to be a message told by Allie Cockrell. It has to be a message told by each one of us. We have to not just say, you know what, people are going to learn from my example. They may not. There are a lot of good people in this world. I have a lot of good neighbors that are into a lot of philanthropy work in our community, and there's a lot of good examples for people out there. But they may not catch Christ. I think they will if they hang out with you long enough. I think they will catch Christ. But it's so important that we tell the message. All those people in Acts were told the message. And Jesus starts with prayer. This is a prayer leading up to his death, burial, and resurrection for us. And then there was a prayer at the Great Commission. And then there was a prayer in Acts by the disciples as the gospel spread. But Jesus prays specifically for his disciples to tell the message, to also be in God, Jesus in the Spirit, so that others may believe Jesus had been sent to redeem the world. And then also a unity in Christ so that the world may believe. We have to be a unified front out there. There can't just be a handful of us telling others about Jesus. We all are commissioned to go out and tell others about Jesus. It's not just my job as a minister. It's not just Darren's job as a college deacon. It's not just Todd or John's job as shepherds. It's not just John's job as a deacon. It's all of our jobs as Christ servants, as followers of Christ, as disciples of Christ, to go out and tell others about Jesus by starting with prayer. That's the first point again. And if some of you, like there's four or five more that just came in, if you'll grab notes in the back and a pen, and start with prayer for others. Absolutely, take time right now to think about two people. I'm not going to say one, but two people that you come across every week that don't know Christ. Could be somebody you work with. I want you to write down two people, and I want you to start with prayer for them tonight. Because you know what happens when you start with prayer? I remember Travis one time saying, "Hey, Donnie, I've got a coworker I am talking to." And the reason I remembered, I don't remember a lot of things, trust me, but the reason I remembered to pray for Travis, or to ask Travis about how his coworker is doing and how that study is going, is because I was praying for that. I listed it on my prayer list. So I was actively praying for Travis's coworker every week. And so start with prayer. Darren, point number two.
Point number two is we're talking about deepening your own faith. And I want to get in there and explain that here in just a moment. If you will, Timmy, I want you to go ahead and read for us the passage I've got there in Philippians chapter 2.
All right, everybody turn to Philippians 2, 1 through 10.
Philippians 2, 1 through 10.
So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking up the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
How many of you have that passage? And what I mean by that passage is that if you have that scripture that you turn to, if you're having that time frame in your life and things are not going specifically the way that you feel that they should, if you are having that moment of doubt, if you feel your faith kind of dwindling a little bit, that you have a passage that you go to that helps lift you back up. For me, it's a passage that Timmy just read for us. Because I love specifically going through there and talking about the fact of Jesus humbling himself, being in heaven, and coming through there and deciding, okay, and living the life of a human here, going through the trials, going through the temptations, going through the struggles, going through everything that we go through to ultimately die on the cross. And for me, and I'm not saying that this has got to be your passage, but for me, this is the passage that helps me when I am feeling that struggle in my life. And the reason I brought that for you is because I want to encourage you to have that passage. Now, to be able to have that passage, there's a handful of things that you've got to be able to do. And one of those is you've got to start reading the Bible. Search the scriptures daily. We read in Acts chapter 17, the people in Berea were searching the scriptures daily to see if what the apostles were telling them were actually, or what Paul was telling them were actually the things that were being taught. And they were searching the scriptures daily. And then after you have found that specific passage, as Donnie was just talking about, then pray. Pray that you have something that opens up your heart, opens up your mind, but specifically opens up the heart and the mind of the person that you want to be able to reach out to. And if you don't have someone in your life that you want to reach out to, then pray, Lord, please help me to find someone that I can reach out to. And then finally, with that, start following the direction you feel like you're given. Whatever the scripture is, whatever the prayer, but start following the words that you have that's in your heart and that's in your mind so that you're able to reach out to someone else. And I've got, how many of you have I in this room have I been on a mission trip with? Hands a little bit higher if you can. Wow, okay. As for instance, actually a higher number than I anticipated. I was looking through here, and I know that specifically with Travis and Laboris, I have been out of the country more times than with them than where Christina and I haven't been out of the country together at all. So, I've gone to Honduras 3 or 4 times with Travis and Laboris. We've gone to the Bahamas a couple times. We've been to El Salvador. And we've had the opportunity to go out and to be able to speak to and teach out and reach others. And one of the questions after every mission trip that I normally ask the people that I go with is, what is the difference between us here in the States and us there? when we're on the mission trip. And what do you think the difference is?
Fear.
Do what?
Fear.
Nope. Nope. Go ahead, Robbie.
Language.
Do what?
Language.
Language? No.
Single-minded unity of mind and purpose.
Purpose. Specifically the word I was looking for. And one of the things I want to impress upon you when you're looking at reaching out and speaking to others, it specifically is your purpose. Because when we're on a mission trip and we're there, that is what we are there to do. Our purpose, our goal, our desire, our drive, everything about us at that point in time in our life is we are looking to find somebody that we can speak to. We are looking for somebody that we can share our faith with. We are doing our best to be able to reach out and save and teach others. Why can't we have the same purpose, the same drive, the same desire here? And that's going to be the difference when you're wanting to reach out and teach others. You've got to continue to maintain that you have that same desire, that same drive. And the ability that will allow you to do that is as you're praying and deepening your faith is that you have that purpose. You have that same single-mindedness. You have that drive to be able to reach out and bring other people closer to God.
All right, the two people that you wrote down, hopefully, if you haven't written down, think about that. Pray about that. But think about two people you can write down that you're going to start with prayer for and eventually pray with because you're asking them what you can pray for them for and pray with them together when you see them. And I promise you, if you're praying for them, you are going to remember to talk to them. And as I think about being purposeful, what Darren just talked about, I think about then taking the next step and inviting them into a conversation. You know, Bill Braun's had a conversation with his doctor. We've had conversations together about that. And then I'm praying for Bill as he speaks to his doctor. As his doctor takes care of Bill, I'm certainly praying for Bill to take care of his doctor because Bill knows where he's going. Bill's going to heaven. We don't know where Bill's doctor's going, but we do know that he doesn't know Christ. So that's a big deal to pray for that person. And then to invite them for a meal. I'll tell you, the biggest obstacle to telling somebody else about Jesus is not making the time to do it. It's not being purposeful and intentional in taking the time to do it. And that's a real tragedy, especially when it's somebody that's so close to us, like a family member that's lost, or a roommate that we see every day, day in and out, day out, that doesn't know Christ. So it's a big deal to take time, and I'll tell you, you already get your coffee. Well, I don't. I don't really drink coffee. I know I'm weird. But I know a lot of you drink coffee. My wife drinks coffee. Every roommate I've had drinks coffee. My permanent roommate drinks coffee. Mackenzie's like, ooh, let me try some of that. That's good. I'm like, not yet. You're 7. You already have enough energy. But my wife loves to take people out for coffee. Even during COVID, she's met with a couple of girls. And she's having studies with them 6 feet apart with a mask on, but she's taking the time to go outdoors somewhere and have coffee with somebody. Be intentional. You already have lunch. You already have dinner. Don't do breakfast. You might miss it, okay? You may not wake up in time, especially if you're younger. But plan a lunch, plan a dinner with somebody, and be intentional, be purposeful in inviting them into spiritual conversation with you. Allie, I need a mic to go to Allie, please. And Allie's going to read for us Luke 12:12 and John 17:17. I know some of you are very loud, like myself, but we're using the mic because this class is being recorded for everybody that couldn't be here this evening or is staying home during the pandemic. So we want them to get the same message as well. Allie, Luke 12:12 and John 17:17. Oh, is the mic not working?
I'm sorry.
Here it is. It's on. All right, very good. If you guys will follow along, Luke 12:12 and John 17:17.
For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Sanctify yes. them by the truth. Your word is truth.
Yes. Take time to invite people to the truth. There's so much misinformation out there. We are sure and certain that God's word, the gospel message, is truth. Take time to share the truth. And I'm going to tell you right now, take time to get to know the truth, obviously. And as well as letting the Holy Spirit guide that conversation. The Holy Spirit will guide you, will give you the words to say if you are being purposeful and intentful in talking to others. Because if we wait till we know in our minds at all, we're going to wait till we're dead to tell somebody. We need to take the time to tell people and let the Holy Spirit guide. And here are some good questions to start with under point three. Do you believe in Jesus? Ask somebody plainly, do you believe in Jesus? I have no problem telling you about, well, actually, I'm going to save that for another point. I'm not going to go there yet. Okay. Do you believe in Jesus? Ask that person, do they believe in Christ? You know, there's no denying the fact that Jesus Christ lived here on this earth. The issue is whether he was Lord and Savior, as we believe, or whether he was a lunatic, or whether he was a liar. And you can easily refute the lunatic and liar scenario as you walk somebody through the gospel message. And we're going to get deeper into that as we get going with this class over these 6 weeks. Also ask, why do you believe or not believe in him? Let them speak. If they don't believe in him, let them tell you why. And then you tell them why you do believe in him. But give that person an opportunity to tell you what scarred them or why they don't believe in Christ. And then also ask them the question, how do you feel about that belief or non-belief? So figure out what matters most to that person and let them know Christ is what truly matters and that he can make all the difference to them in making whatever it is that really matters to them, making it real and whole. I know my best friend from high school decided to get baptized and become a Christian because he wanted to have a family unit like I had. He wanted what I had. And he's like, Donnie, to be honest with you, my wife and I fight all the time. I treat her poorly. I'm degrading. I compare her sexually to other women that I had sex with in the past before we got married. I know I shouldn't have slept around, but this is what happened in my life. All these things happen, and I want to know what I can do to make my life great with my wife and to raise my kids right. I want what you have. Tell me how to do that. I was like, yeah, let's talk about it. And this is conversations over the phone because he lives in Melbourne, Florida, and I live here. And after about 10 different phone conversations, he decided to give his life to Christ. And we met in Orlando, and I baptized him in a Disney pool, and it was the coolest thing ever. And God's Spirit worked in that, so it's really neat. All right, Darren.
The very first mission trip that I ever went on, I was 27, and we left and went to Belize, and it just happened to be that it was a situation to where I was the guy that was going to lead the trip was not able to join us, and so I, at 27, ended up being the oldest male that was on the trip. And so, kind of by default, I was the leader for that trip. Had never been to Belize before, but sure could speak Spanish, even though the official language of the country is English. That didn't happen very often. So, you know, I'm here, I'm leading this mission trip, and we had had a lot of really good successes. We had had some baptisms. In fact, it was the first time that I had ever baptized somebody, and I was baptizing them in the Caribbean, and it was just really cool. And it was a fabulous trip, and it was very uplifting for me. And it was also very humbling because I was 27 flying high, kind of had enough arrogance about myself to say I'm going to be able to speak to these other people and be able to help teach and reach out to others. And we were going out, we were door knocking, going and saying, hey, we've got a vacation Bible school that we're doing. We've also got these meetings that we're having at night. We'd love for y'all to come out. We're going out into the village and knocking on doors and going to all the little huts and everything that were there. And we're having a great trip. And I remember knocking on this one lady's house, and I have my interpreter with me. And so we knock on the door, and he does his believe it or not, la la la, because I have no idea what he was saying until he said, Senior Cuffield. And my interpreter said, hey, we're just going around and asking anybody if they want to have a Bible study and also letting them know about the Vacation Bible School. I've done this, I felt like, 20, 30 different times, said the exact same thing, and they would say, oh, great, thanks, we'll come to the meeting, we'll come to the VBS. Had not had anybody say, yeah, let's have a Bible study. And so she brings us into her house, and we sit down on her couch, and she comes out, sits in front of me, puts the Bible in my lap, and says, teach me how to read this. And I had no clue where to begin. And it was a humbling point in my life because I realized I have no idea at that point in time how to sit down and teach somebody from scratch how to study the Bible. How would I from scratch start talking to someone about Jesus? And it was very eye-opening for me. Brent, go ahead and read the passage we got for you.
This is 1 Peter 3:13-17. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ, the Lord is holy. Always be prepared, always be ready to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good if that should be God's will than for doing evil.
For me, this is Darren Cuffield. This is not something you're going to find specifically inside the Scripture. But for me, the command that we have in the Scripture that you need to be ready to give an answer for the hope that dwells within you is as much as a command for me as to love your neighbor as yourself. Because for me, if I'm not able to give that answer, if I'm not able to give that hope, and I can't explain to someone, this is why I'm a Christian, I'm not loving my neighbor. If that makes sense. And this is an equation that I've come up and put in my own head, and I don't want to push that on anybody else. But I do urge you to look at what was written there and think about how you would answer that question. What is the reason for the hope that dwells within you? How are you going to answer that for someone else? And one way to be able to do that is if you sit here and look at the next statement is to be able to talk to people or talk to people about the things that Jesus talked to them about. And if you look in Matthew 5-7, look at also John 14-15, there are a lot of great topics, a great conversation starters that you can get into simply by reading those passages together. To be able to sit down and go through the Beatitudes, to go through the entire Sermon on the Mount, to talk about all the I love passages and the love statements that Jesus makes that are in John. That allows you to start having a conversation that will allow you to lead into other passages, other scriptures, other aspects of the Gospels and the teaching of Jesus. But the other thing that I would urge you to do is talk to them about the things that interests them. When Jesus was doing his teachings, he was talking about through parables to the people there. He was talking to them about things that they understood. I'm not going to sit down and talk with a bunch of people who do not know insurance jargon about my job because they're going to get lost and they're not going to care. John's not going to sit down and start talking to me about the inner workings of my mouth because I can promise you I really don't care. Just fix it. You know, there are certain things that we need to be able to reach out with and have a common ground with each other. And by having that common ground, it allows us to be able to study with each other on a more meaningful level. Because then we've had that ability to meet with each other, to have the same mind with each other while we're discussing those topics. which actually gets us into the next point. I have the next one, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Allows us to get into the next point. Don't overpower. That is Sarah. I need your mic. The next point we get in there is talking about don't overpower the conversations that you may have with each other. And something that's very, very tough when you're sitting there trying to have a conversation with someone and you're really wanting to get to know them, or you're trying to express the desire about your interests, and they are totally monopolizing the conversation. And it's a really good idea to not overpower a conversation when you're trying to study, because you need to know specifically where that individual is coming from. Sarah, if you would, go ahead and read for us from Ephesians.
Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
Now, what in the world does that passage have to do with overpowering a conversation? Probably not much, but I want to let you know why I put that in there. For those of you who do not know, my mom died when I was while I was still in college. And the one thing that I wanted from her was her Bible. And it's awesome to be able to open up the passages, and guys, this is, 25 years ago, 26 years ago, but to be able to open up the Bible and to look at the passages that she's highlighted and different things that she's written inside her Bible. But right outside this particular passage, right in the margins, she had written, "People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care." And I really want you to think about that when you're reaching out and you're studying with others. Because if you're studying with someone else and you don't know where they're coming from, you're not going to know how to speak to them. If you don't understand some of the struggles and some of the questions that they have, how are you going to know specifically how to speak to them? And so when you are having that moment with each other and you're having a Bible study, take the time to sit there and listen. Understand all of their questions. Understand their statements and figure out where they're coming from so that you're able to go ahead and address with them. Yes, Ms. Baker?
For those of you listening at home, what Peggy and Roger, and they do a really special program here every Sunday morning called English Partners, and several of you are involved. And one of the coolest things, I saw Brittany the other week, and then kind of walked by and listened in on the conversation a little, and also Katie. Two of our newer Christians, our room full here of people speaking one-on-one with others, helping them learn English using the Bible. Is you're doing more listening than you are talking, one for sure, and two, to see especially some of our newly baptized from last year going out and then being able to listen to others and to share the difference God's made in their life and to find common ground and to do exactly what Peggy and Roger talk about, which is to share your sins, your shortcomings with them and how Christ changed your life. That's huge. When I walk by the gym, walk by a couple of your conversations here during English Partners towards the end of the time, And it just warms my heart to hear those amazing conversations happen.
And the second half of that, and thank you for allowing me to be able to lead into it, don't underpower the conversation either. Because if you have prayed and you've kind of followed some of the steps that we have talked about, at this point in time when you're meeting with someone, let God's power, let the Spirit work through you and to share your struggles, to share the reasons and the things that led you to Christ. Because your message can be just as impactful as well as letting them know, I'm not perfect. I'm just striving to do what God has told us to do.
Right. Amen. All right, we got 3 minutes. Do you mind if we stretch it out for 10 minutes? This last 3 minutes, is that okay? All right, let's do it. All right, so we'll end just a little bit past 8. Be confident. There are things you are completely confident about. And one of those things that you are completely confident about, as I look around this room, is you're completely confident about your solid, true friendships in Christ that are in this room. And even more so, you're completely confident about your family. I have no problem telling a complete stranger, I did this just yesterday, telling a complete stranger about how amazing my wife is, and how amazing my 7-year-old is, Mackenzie, and telling how energetic and crazy my 2-year-old Adeline is. I love talking about my family. I'm not like, talk about my family. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I can. No, of course, that's silly. We have no problem talking about the people we care about and love in our life, right? Now think about God. Think about your relationship with Christ. Think about how much Christ loves you, enough to die for you. And think about your love in return to Christ. We should have also complete confidence, which it talks about throughout Scripture, especially Paul's letters to so many churches, talking about the complete confidence he has in Christ, even going through shipwrecks and trials and being stoned and being beaten. He's like, I don't care. I can't help but talk about it. Think about how cowardly some of the disciples were like Peter and how confident they were as apostles of Christ. How they went out, got thrown in jail, got beat up. You better not talk about Jesus anymore. They're like, yeah, sorry, I can't help it. I'm in love with him. I can't help it. I'm going to talk about Jesus. That's where we need to be. That's the mindset we must have to be confident like that. Virginia, if you'll read for us John 17, 18, and 19. And then you guys can read Acts 4 on your own. Really, to do that justice, you need to look at all of Acts 4 on your own at home. But John 17, 18, and 19.
And he sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth.
All right, sanctified in truth, that's us. And another part of that prayer for us to go out and to tell others about Jesus and to confidently do it. Just as we're confident about family, just as we're confident about telling others about our best friends, telling others about Jesus and the difference he makes in our life. And then end the conversation well. Zach, is Zach here? Okay, I think he had trained late, and he's the one I had for that scripture. If somebody would.
Zach,
okay, sorry. Zach, I just didn't look over. I am sorry I missed you. Zach, you've got Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20.
All right. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with the boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
All right. We are shown, we are commissioned, we are challenged to speak boldly, to share, and to end the conversation well, and to find a good time to meet again. So when you bring up Jesus with somebody, when you're in prayer, when you're talking to them about your church family at University City, when you especially bring up the most important thing, which is Jesus and the difference he's made in your life, make sure to end the conversation well, which means, hey, you know, I'm going to pray for you this week. When can we get together again? When can we talk again about this? And they'll give you a time where they might be like, I just need to digest this. And I promise you, if there's no time set, if you're like, well, just let me know and give it a little bit of time, they will get back with you. And if they don't, you can check in with them after a few weeks and just say, hey, you know, how are you still thinking about that? And let them do the talking, but ask to be their decision, but give people the opportunity to respond to the gospel message because you told them about it. Because you told them about it. There's some testimonial questions. I'm going to ask Frankie to come up and share. Oh, actually, you can do it from where you're at. I'm going to send a mic your way. Somebody got a mic close that can send it over to Frankie. All right. Frankie got baptized December. Yep, and I was there. Actually, I didn't get to see his baptism. I was there for the baptism. It was really cool because we got to study together. Frankie and I have a lot of the same interests, physical fitness. By the way, he's in much better condition than I am. he trains religiously. I train sometimes. But I tell you, we're both into spiritual training, which is of far greater value. Now, I do need to physically train more. Don't get me wrong. But what was really cool is Frankie was like, you know what? I'm missing something. Donnie, tell me about baptism. So we sat here at the church in late November, early December, and talked about baptism. And that was one of the best conversations we've ever had. And talking seriously about the one thing he was lacking. And then he decided to give his life to Christ in baptism. His dad got to baptize him. There was supposed to be a pool outdoors. That didn't inflate, so... I think Jared Skipper was there too, but he went indoors and went to a bathtub, and because of COVID restrictions, I'm like, I'm not going in that bathroom. There's not 6 feet in that bathroom, but he got baptized, stuffed down into that bathtub, and came up a new creature in Christ. So these testimonial questions, these are all questions that we'll talk about later, but I want you to look over those questions. I'm just going to ask Frankie one question. I'm going to give him 2 minutes to answer. I'm going to let him share more later, Frankie, why did you need Jesus and his grace is the question. Why did you need Jesus and his grace?
All right, well, 2 minutes is tough, but...
Maybe 30.
All right, well, I just got to a point in my life where it was a breaking point, and I realized if you're underwater and you can't breathe, you do everything possible to get some air. And so with me, I come from a background of athletics, and I put all my faith and trust in my abilities. Because just like everybody in this room, you have a special gift, you have a special talent, whether you recognize it or not. Something in you is very unique, it's different than everybody else. And so with me, it was athletics, and it was playing football, and it was starting a business, and it was all these different things. But what I realized was the harder that I worked, that one of my strengths is having a drive and having a persistence. And so every time a failure or a disappointment would happen in my life, my natural response to overcome it was to work harder. And that might be different from some of you guys, but for me, it didn't work out for me, I'm going to strive harder. It doesn't work out for me, I'm going to strive. Because that's what all the motivational guys say to do. And so I thought that was the answer. But what I realized is the harder that I strive, I still had the emptiness inside. And all of us have that void. We're just trying to climb a ladder to try to shove things in it. Now, we might try to do that with a relationship. We might try to do that with a milestone in our lives. We might try to do that with a talent or a career or our children. But we're trying to fill a void that only Christ can fill in our lives. That's why I live in Miami. I play football at FIU, and a lot of my buddies and former teammates, man, they're trying to live that lifestyle. They're going broke trying to prove people that they're rich, and they're going for the cars, they're going for the girls, they're going for. This just comes back to Jesus said, "So what? You gain the whole world and you lose your soul." But it's like striving. And what I discovered is somebody with a strong will, like myself, being very performance driven, like myself, it had to come to a breaking point in my life. And that's where finally I thought to myself, I have gifts and talents, playing football, American Ninja Warrior, all these different things. They might be impressive, but they don't impress him anymore. My talents won't save me. And so I thought that starting a business, having one of the sharks on Shark Tank approaches about a business, having all this success, I thought that would save me. I thought getting into a relationship with a girl, I thought that would save me. I thought playing college football, being on ESPN, that would save me. I thought climbing the warp wall in Ninja Warrior, that would save me. But none of those were my savior. And so that's when finally hit that breaking point. And you know, when you're backed up against the wall, you have no other option mentality. And that's what God did to me, was he said, look, you're holding on to your life with a firm grip, but all you got to do is let it go. And that was super hard for me to do, so hard, because I had a fear of the unknown and what was happening next and what's to come, because as an entrepreneur, you got a plan. But then I came across the proverb and it says that there's always a plan, but not all plans lead to where you want it to go. There's a path that seems right, but in the end, it leads to death. And so I said, man, I'm playing, I'm striving, I'm working, I'm persevering, I'm grinding, I'm grit, and all this stuff. But at the end, that plan could lead to death, because everything that I was working towards couldn't save me. That's why I needed a savior, and that's why I decided to get baptized.
Thank you, Frankie. Let's have a hand for Frankie's testimony. Appreciate you so much, brother. And I'll tell you, I promise you, I'm not the only one that spoke with Frankie. I know Jared did. I know family did. Other friends did that were Christians. It takes a village. If you have, after all of this, have heard everything and you're like, Donnie, I'm still not confident, take somebody that is confident with you. The three of you can have that conversation, you two and that friend, and that will be the blessing. If you haven't given your life to Christ in baptism, please, 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 if you're missing that part, or if you haven't repented of your sins, if you haven't let Christ change your life, please give them that opportunity, because a changed life changes lives. A changed life changes lives. And that's the big take home. We're going to equip you guys every week with something new. Next week, we're going to talk about foundations for a fantastic study. So, we're going to talk about I got some great notes from Jeff, from others that have had amazing, fantastic studies, from Darren, from James that used to be here with us, from others in this room. I kind of compiled the best of notes for next week's notes and scriptures on foundations for a fantastic Bible study with others. And then we're going to walk through a study together on how to talk to others about Jesus, you know, starting with recognizing that we need to believe him and believe in him. Talk about sin and our own shortcomings. Talk about repentance. Talk about discipleship. Talk about baptism and remaining faithful in him. Talk about the cross of Christ and how he made all the difference, and how that open grave is why we have that hope in him. Amen, church?
Amen.
All right, it's going to be a great series. Let's have a hand for Darren's preparation. I really appreciate Darren. And I appreciate the time that we've taken here many weeks to get these notes together. And we're going to help, if you're a young Christian, or if you are old in the faith and mature in the faith, but you just haven't told others about Jesus like you wanted to, we're going to help walk you guys through it so that we're all equipped to go out there and do what Jesus has